You are free in Christ. Abraham believed God, he was righteous. Abraham believed God, boom, he was righteous. You don't want that? You want to live under regulations? Okay, here's the problem with the regulations. You break one of them, you're guilty of the whole law. The regulations came in because of disobedience. We are in Galatians chapter 3, and just setting a stage so that for those of you who might not remember, in Galatians, Paul started out by making a defense for his apostleship because people were saying he's not really an apostle. And then what he did is he came and he started to confront people who were called Judaizers. And what the Judaizers were doing is they were coming into these churches that Paul had actually founded, many of these churches. And after Paul would leave on missionary journeys, they would come in and they would say to the new believers who were Gentile believers, they were not Jews, he was saying, they would say to them, you need to be circumcised and you need to live under the commandments of Moses in order to be followers of Jesus. You have to do this. And Paul was like, there's no way. They don't have to live under the laws of Moses and the Mosaic law. They can become straight up. They can become believers in Jesus. So this is the battle that he's going through, and that's what he dealt with in the first two chapters. In the third chapter, he's addressing the people in those churches directly, and he took them head on. He addressed them directly. He said that you know, what you're doing is, who has bewitched you? You're so foolish to think that you need to go back under this. So we're going to start reading at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now I want you to look down to verse 24. Skip down to verse 24. We will come back and cover the other parts next week. Verse 24, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Okay, so what is he doing here? We started out by reading this portion where it says in verse 6, even so Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's it. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What Paul is trying to do is say, you guys have so much liberty in the Lord, and you want to go back under these rules of Moses? Moses had 613 commandments. And the Judaizers didn't want to stop there. They had 613 commandments. And around every one of these 613 commandments, the rabbis had added many more commandments. Around the Sabbath day commandment, that you should observe the Sabbath day, there were over 1,000 rabbinic rules that they had to follow. Imagine living under that. He says, you want to go back under that? And he uses Abraham as an example. He says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. Just by the belief in God. Remember, we looked at this last time. It was the fourth visitation from God to Abraham, where then Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. The earlier visits, it didn't say that, but the fourth visitation, Abraham then believed and he took hold of this thing. He took hold of it. And so he goes on and he talks about here, he says, look, in verse 10, for as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So if you really want to live under the law, you're obliged to obey all of the law. This is what it even says in James, in the New Testament, James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all the law. He says, if you stumble in one point, you think you keep the law? He says, if you stumble in one point, you violated the whole law. Of the 613, you stumble in one, you've disobeyed them all. Everything was locked up. The law came in. Why did the law come in? The law came in verse 19. We didn't read it, but let me read it now in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgression. The law was added because of transgression. The people transgressed against God. They wanted more and more and more. And he says, you want regulations? I'll give you regulations. And he gave them 613 commandments. You want regulations? I'll give you regulations. Be careful what you wish for before God, because he may give it to you. The Israelites, they were worshiping idols. God said, you want idols? I'll give you idols. And he sent them into 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Babylon was filled with idols, absolutely filled with idols. And ancient Israel never had a problem with idols after that. After the diaspora, after they came back from Babylon, 70 years in captivity, he broke them of idols in this way. And he says, you want rules and regulations? You got them. I'll give them to you. It is much nicer to live as Abraham lived, 430 years before the commandments of Moses ever came in. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You want to live under the law? You're going to have to live under lots of rules and regulations. This is what he's telling the Galatians. You want to live under rules? You're going to have a lot of rules. It's no different. It's not much different than church bylaws. You want to live under all these church bylaws? God makes it very easy for us. They came to Jesus and they said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus said, that's all you need. That's all you need. You love God with everything you've got, everything within you, love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said it's second, but you want another one? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at the Ten Commandments, of the Ten Commandments, the first four are our relationship with God. The next six are our relationship with other people, with our neighbor. This was the commandments. 10 wasn't enough for them. Because of their disobedience, he piled it on, 613. And then the rabbis piled on thousands more. Imagine living under that. And you break one, you're guilty of them all. He's saying to the Galatians, you really want to go under that? Do you really want to go under that? Jesus said, if you love God with everything you've got, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you're good. You'd be good to go. Jesus said, that's it. He says, on this hangs the whole law, the entire law, all of these commandments can be embodied in this one statement. You are to love the Lord your God with everything that's within you, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, everything within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs the entire law and the prophets, everything. You know, there was a man named G.K. Chesterton He was a theologian, primarily in the first half of the 20th century. He was a mentor of sorts to C.S. Lewis, who was also a theologian from around the middle of the 20th century. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian minds. So you had G.K. Chesterton and then C.S. Lewis. And G.K. Chesterton talks a little bit about this. He gives this analogy of walls. He speaks of an island that's raised up out of the sea with long cliffs, sharp cliffs on all sides. He says, but there was a wall. There was a wall at the edge of this. And the children on that island used to play and have so much fun. He says, then somebody came and broke down the wall. And now the children couldn't play because they were all huddled up in the middle of this island. They were afraid to go near the edge because there was this cliff. There was no longer a wall. It's like this. I love a playground with a fence around it. Really do. I have four children, and I loved playgrounds that had a fence. If you have a playground with a fence around it, you come in with your kids and have at it. Do whatever you want. And I'll sit here with my journals, and I'll sit here with my laptop computer, and I'll do my work. And that's what I used to do. I used to take them to the park. I used to take them to their things, and I would work. And I'd sit there in a chair, and they were there playing. No problem. I didn't have to worry about anything. But if you don't have a fence on the perimeter of that, there's a problem. And people, take down the fence. It's too constrictive for me. Well, that fence is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what that fence is. You don't want that fence? Too restrictive for you? God is too much of a classical, ancient concept for you? Loving your neighbor as yourself, that's some archaic words of Jesus. Who needs that? It's over 2,000 years old. Here's what happens. You take down that fence. And now you have to tell your kids, well, I don't want you to go over in that direction because there's high grass over there and there's snakes in that high grass. You can get hurt. Over in that direction, I don't want you to go because there's a highway just over that berm right there, just over that hill. And if you go on the edge of the hill, you could roll down, you'll roll right on a highway. Could get run over. Oh, and by the way, that direction, there's a bad neighborhood over there. And there's lots of evil people. So stay away from there. And you've got to now have all of these rules around you because you got rid of this perimeter, which was God. You love God with everything you've got, and you love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you need, he's telling the Galatians. And you want to go back under this thing? You have to have thousands and thousands of rules. You look at the laws within the United States. Look at the laws. Then you have the laws of the county. And then you have these regulations of the city. Then you have your neighborhood covenants and ordinances and everything. All of this stuff piled on you. Who can keep track of it all? If you love God with everything you've got and you love your neighbor as yourself, you'd be good. You'd be good. You don't want that? You don't want that? Okay, now you've got all these rules and regulations to try to keep you protected, to try to keep you safe. This is what he's telling the Galatians. You are free in Christ. Abraham believed God, he was righteous. Abraham believed God, boom, he was righteous. You don't want that? You want to live under regulations? Okay, here's the problem with the regulations. You break one of them, you're guilty of the whole law. The regulations came in because of disobedience. They came in because of disobedience. You've got all these regulations. That's why it says in verse 19, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. It was added. God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, which we looked at last time, and we'll look at it again next week. He made a covenant with Abraham. And that covenant was a covenant for the nation of Israel, for his descendants. That was a covenant. And that covenant is still in force. And what Paul is saying here is that covenant has not gone away. But because of disobedience, the law was added. The law was added. And it was never meant to be there forever. It was added for a time. And now you want to go back under that law? That law has been done away with. So that's why he says if you look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he says that the law is, this is a, living under a curse. The curse of the law, he said, Jesus became the curse for us in order that, verse 14, Christ, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he says, everybody has access to this now. Jesus has opened up the door for everyone. To the Jew, to the Gentile, Jesus became a curse for us. This is why I say we shall forever be thanking Jesus. Forever. Eternity is not long enough to thank Jesus for all his goodness toward us. Eternity isn't long enough because of the goodness of God that has come upon us because of Jesus. Jesus has opened up this door for us. He's opened it. It's all because of Jesus. He's opened this door for us. How he came in and he opened up this way. The law just restricts us. And Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, listen to this. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds would be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He says, I worry about you, that your minds are being led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It is so good to be under Jesus. It is so good not to be under the law. And it is easy to slip back under it. Paul even testifies in Romans. If you go back to Romans that we had taught on that earlier, Romans in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about this. Paul was free. He came to know the Lord. He was free. And then he drifted back under the law. And he says, it just was killing me again. It is not uncommon for believers to think that they somehow have to get their approval from God through this type of action, through this type of justification. So you see that here's what's happening. There's this coming under the law, and he says, you sure you want to get under that? He's trying to make it so that they can live apart from that. So that's why in Romans chapter 7, he says, I once was alive apart from the law, Paul said. He had been liberated from it. But when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And so he talks about how it just started choking him again. Jesus came to deliver us. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He says, Jesus opened it all up. He purchased us. Jesus opened it up. He says, if you want to do away with rules and regulations, what's going to come upon you is a much harder thing. And it's so easy to slip under this. And the church has a habit of doing the same thing. It really does. All sorts of church rules, all sorts of, you read this liturgy, you read this thing, you read that thing, you just obey this, obey that. Because people, when spirituality is lost, when we stop seeking God, what do we want to fill it with? We want to fill it with all these crazy rules and regulations. We want to do it. And you can get throttled by this stuff. And you just see one commandment. This is a rule. Good Christians don't do that. Good Christians don't do this. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do this. And Paul says, you know, if you just keep this in mind, that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And what Jesus tells us, you love God with everything you've got. And you love your neighbor as yourself. you're good. You're good to go. You don't have to say all sorts of set prayers. You don't have to say all sorts of set things. I was sharing with a guy last night, and he said the sinner's prayer. I said, repeat after me, and we prayed this prayer. He said, could you send me that prayer? I said, send you what prayer? He says, the prayer you just prayed, the prayer you just read. I said, I didn't read any prayer. I said, that was all from here. I mean, and I said, I never read prayers. I never read prayers. I never do. You want to read a liturgy? Good for you. Go back under that. Read somebody else's prayer. Feel good about it. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You can just talk to God. Imagine going up to your father and saying, hey, I want to read something that somebody wrote just to, this is how much I love you. He'd be like, how about you just tell me yourself? You know, how about you just tell me yourself? What's going on in your heart? How about you just tell me? People always want to slip back under this thing. And society wants to get rid of that perimeter fence. Get rid of it. God's this archaic concept. You know, we know what's best. You know, we got it all together. We know what's best. You know, we are the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong, of social justice. We know. You know, you go kicking down fences, just think about why that fence was put there in the first place. Why there was so much effort around that fence. Why it was put there in the first place. And so you see that you want to go breaking down this fence, you're going to have real problems because you're going to have 100 fences to replace that one fence. And then people are going to come along and say, well, those 100 fences aren't enough. You need another 100 fences to replace what was just by that perimeter fence. And then it's no longer secure in there. And you know what happens when it's no longer secure? I can't just go and sit in the park and let my kids play. I have to keep an eagle eye on my kids. Where are they? Where are they gone? And when you have children and one of your children slips out of your sight, your heart is going to start skipping. I mean, really quickly. It's like, where are they? Where are they? And you start looking all around. But when there's a fence, I don't have to worry about it. I'm just watching that door. Who comes in and out? And I'm good to go because there's a high fence around this park. When there's no fence, I got to constantly watch my kids. And one goes behind this tree, and then another goes this direction. I have 4 kids, and I got to watch them. I don't know how kindergarten teachers do it. I just don't know how they do it. But they must be a lot calmer than I am. And but you just really get worried now. You have to watch everything when you've got all these rules. It's so hard. And you're always trying to discipline. Oh, you can't go there. And you've always got to stop your kids. You can't go there. You can't go there. And there's all these things you got to pile on them. It's these rules. He said, Christ has become a curse for us. He broke us from this thing. You are free. To the unbelievers here, to people who don't know Jesus, I urge you to come to know him. I have come to know him, and he is so good. When I was 18 years old, I came to know Jesus. I gave my life to him. And I started reading the Word of God every day. For 45 years, I have read this Bible every day. And even days when I was in the hospital to have surgery, I'd read the Bible before I go into surgery. After surgery, I'm looking for my Bible. I'm not going a day without this reading the Word of God. This is my life. And Moses said that. He said, the word that I've shared with you, this is your life. This is your life. I urge you to come to know him. He is so good. You can live under all sorts of rules and regulations, or you can love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything in you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Boom, you're good to go. And you see how Jesus tried to free us. You know, Jesus didn't take directly the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't recite the Ten Commandments when he said, which is the greatest commandment? He just recited those two, just those two, because he said, the Ten Commandments are embodied in that. The first 4 between you and God, that's embodied in loving God with everything you've got. The second 6 about how you deal with other people, that's embodied in loving your neighbor as yourself. That's all you need. That's that perimeter fence. That's that wall that's around this island. So you don't have to just huddle up and get so cloistered you can't play anymore. You can't play freely. You don't even have to worry about it. You know, and this is why the scriptures say in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, Isaiah is prophesying what the future will be like. And this is what we have in Christ, if you choose to live under this. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Your ear is going to hear a word. This is the way, walk you in it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. You don't need all these rules and regulations. You don't need all these things. You know, I have Orthodox Jewish friends. I go to Israel a lot because my daughter lives there. And, you know, they can't push the button on an elevator. There's nothing in the Bible on that. But that's one of those rabbinical traditions that wraps around one of these laws. On the Sabbath day, they can't push the button on an elevator. So what do? They stand there and wait till a Gentile comes up and pushes the button for them. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. That's what it devolves into. That's what it's like. Turn to Romans in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." He's saying the Gentiles weren't even looking for righteousness. Boom, it hit them because they had faith. Faith, he says, the righteous man shall live by faith. That's what it said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The righteous man shall live by faith. Gentiles came in, they had faith, boom, they were declared righteous. He says, but Israel was trying to pursue this righteousness, but through works, and they stumbled over a stumbling stone. What's a stumbling stone? It's something that is right in front of you. It's like you're looking out here and it, because you're not looking down. A stumbling stone is something right in front of your feet. And he says, they stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." He put Jesus right in front of them. They fall right over him. They fall right over him. Jesus was put right in front of them. The Messiah was put right in front of them. They fall right over him. And he says, because they were trying to live by works. It is freeing to be in Jesus. So freeing to be in Jesus. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you love your neighbor as yourself. This will cover everything, Jesus said. Jesus is the one who said it. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you to know him. Give me this opportunity. Come to me after this class. We will set up a time for you to meet with me, and we'll go through this together. And if you're online, then just email me to tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together by Zoom, and we'll meet together, and I'll share with you. Give me that opportunity. Don't go another day without knowing the Lord. Let's set something up, and we'll meet this week, and we'll get this thing done with. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it. And I pray, Lord, that you would free our hearts from having to think that we've got to somehow earn our acceptance with you. Thank you, Lord God, that the righteous man shall live by faith. How freeing it is to live by faith. Lord, I pray for these young people that they would learn to live by faith. Lord, I pray your grace to be upon them. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be there. Your grace be upon them. I pray, Lord, for the unbelievers. Draw them to Jesus in this time. Oh, Lord, draw them, I pray, for the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.